Hey guys, it's Joe. So before we start our new episode, No Show, I have a treat for you. In the last episode, I had a nitpick. Why did they find a gun in Paulie's car? Are they allowed to do a random search just because they stopped him because his taillight was out? Well, one of our favorite listeners, Nick Norsha, who is my friend and a great lawyer, called in with the answer. So after you listen to Nick's great explanation, stay tuned for our brand new episode, No Show.
Hi, Sibling Sit Down. This is your in-house counsel, Nick Norsha, reaching out to discuss the Sopranos episode For All Debts, Public and Private. The question arose during the Sibling Sit Down episode about whether the police had authority to search someone's vehicle during a traffic stop and use the gun that they happened to find during the search as evidence against the people in the vehicle in a later criminal case, especially where the traffic stop was for something not criminal but a busted taillight, as was in this episode. And the answer is, it depends on the circumstances, but absolutely, there are plenty of scenarios where it would be perfectly appropriate for the police officers to conduct a search of the vehicle, seize a gun, and then use it against the people in the vehicle. For example, if the officers pulled the car over on the highway, and then as they're approaching the vehicle, see some shifty, furtive movements by the people in the car that make them suspicious, combined with maybe other things that would make them generally suspicious, like say it's a high crime area or something like that, then under what's called the Terry Doctrine, the officers would have a basis to then stop and frisk the people in the vehicle, the same way they would be able to stop and frisk people on the street if they had a reasonable, articulable suspicion that the people on the street that they saw were either involved in criminality or were somehow dangerous to them. It's basically an officer safety type of thing. The officers are allowed to conduct a very brief, non-invasive frisk to make sure that there's no weapons involved. And in a car, the frisk extends beyond just frisking the people. You can also essentially frisk the car by searching the passenger compartment for any weapons that might be within anyone's reach. So under the seat is a perfect example of a weapon that would be within someone's reach and therefore within the scope of an appropriate Terry search that an officer might conduct of the car. So in my view, motion to suppress denied. They absolutely can use the gun and no concerns here. That's all. Great job on the show as always. Talk to you guys soon.
Welcome to the Sibling Sit Down, where brother and sister talk about the beloved New Jersey Mafia hit TV show, The Sopranos. I'm Sarah Stefanelli.
And I'm Joseph Stefanelli. We're going to be taking you through The Sopranos one episode at a time, one podcast episode at a time.
We will be discussing season 4, episode 2, No Show.
No Show.
Joseph, do you like this episode?
I was actually thinking about not showing up to the recording and being like, that was it.
Oh, that's our commentary.
That's our commentary. I didn't
show
up.
Meta of us.
Which you know I love.
Yes.
How do I like this episode? It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah, it's fine.
It is. A lot happens. I mean, it's one of Adriana's probably her biggest moments in the show, and it's great. It's just not, no one puts this on a top 20 list, whether it's the top 20 best or the top 20 worst.
Sure.
It's in the middle.
And those have to exist too.
Of course. It is exposition at its finest.
Right. It's a second episode of a season.
Terrific.
I do like when she vomits on the FBI agents.
And the bracelet, which costs more than you and I take home in a month.
That has more carrots than Bugs Bunny. Episode summary.
On this episode of The Sopranos, Meadow's grief over Jackie Jr.'s death leads to a clash with Tony about her future plans. Meanwhile, while Ralphie and Janice's romance blossoms, Carmela finds herself in her own romantic flirtation with Furio? And while Christopher's rise in the ranks causes tension, Adriana's loyalty is tested when she learns the truth about a friend. This episode aired on September 22nd, 2002. So there's a lot there. There's a lot of shit.
Right. A lot of things are starting, right? We have a big Meadow episode. The whole Ralphie and Janice thing. Joseph, if you were ever that disappointed in me, I feel like I would be really upset. When Tony's that disappointed in Janice that she's with Ralphie.
Ralph's a Forretto, Janice.
Janice. Right, like the disappointment in his eyes. It's like, oh.
I'm trying to think if I ever knew that you were hooking up with someone because I found their shoe.
Their loafer.
Like, don't they all wear loafers? Like, don't they have that
well,
shoe?
Well, okay. That's a good point. But no, I think that we comment on his style and he dresses differently than all of them. And I think Tony would know if it was his shoes.
Because it's a gay shoe?
No, I just think it's the heat, you know, Ralph Lauren. Tony. That's what she says to Tony.
Yes.
So I think he just, I think it's fair that he can put it together enough to know that that's his shoe and he knows that they were flirting or whatever. Because he made a look.
So you think he's walking in, knowing the next time she's having sex with someone, it's Ralphie?
No, I don't. But I think he made a look in the last episode at the weird Sunday dinner. Yeah. And then he sees the shoe and it confirms it. But I don't think he's thinking like it's a definite thing at that point. Now I think he does when he finds the
shoe.
They're
in the bathroom for a long time, Sarah.
Ew. Yeah, it's gross.
I mean, you said it. I actually don't know if they actually have intercourse in the bathroom. You
think
they do.
I think they do. I do think they do. So, okay. So for this episode, what is your favorite scene?
I have two runners up. My runners up are Christopher and Aide arguing about his failed attempt at a threesome with Danielle.
Which is a great scene.
It's a great moment.
I feel like it's so typical. Like, Christopher did that. But then also, I really get angry because he's a gaslighting piece of garbage. She, at the end of the scene, says she's sorry. Ugh. It's really annoying.
You said she has a nice ass. I was trying to say something nice. My other one would be, I like the Janice and Tony arguing about Ralphie.
Yeah, it's a good scene. Said.
But ultimately, I mean, it has to be Meadow's bedroom. I think that's arguably one of the greatest scenes in the series.
With the three of them in her bedroom.
Two of them with Carmela watching. I mean, it's really, I think that makes it so much more amazing because while that's all happening, Carmela is literally hearing that priest going, take the good things, take the good things, take the good things. Like, I really see her contemplating her life while she's watching her daughter confront Tony in a way that she only dreams of confronting Tony.
You were all in favor of me going.
Your mother doesn't want it.
Wow. Listen to Mr. Mob Boss.
What did you call me?
All this fucking pussyfooting around? Years now? Why don't we just get it all out there?
Tony.
Shut up.
Tony!
Right.
It's so amazing, the dynamic of what's going on in that scene.
And we've said that Meadow is becoming Carmela, whether that's a good or bad thing. And to see her really become Carmela's thoughts out in the world, right?
And then at the end, basically accept her life like Carmela has.
Yep.
Like, I think she's Carmela on multiple levels in this episode. And like Carmela uses the real estate book as her way of trying to be her own person, Meadow's kind of taking that class in her own way of kind of navigating her own way through their life. So I think that brings them together. I will admit, though, and this revelation of mine, and it's a pretty big claim to say that this is one of the, I'd say at least the top 10 greatest scenes of the show. And that's a bold statement. And when I first saw this episode, and probably took me a few years to appreciate it, I actually thought Jamie Lynn Sigler was bad in it. I actually used to go, you're overacting and you're whining. But then I realized, no, that's Meadow. And Meadow's really upsetting me in that scene. I don't particularly like Meadow in that scene. but Jamie Lynn's doing it perfectly. That's exactly how Meadow at this point in her life would be acting. It's very similar to how I always complain about AJ and Robert Iger. Like, I think Robert Iger is amazing in the show. I just don't like AJ at times.
Sure. Yeah, sure. So. Jamie Lynn, even in this scene, I had trouble understanding her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how emotional, and she's fighting back tears, but also crying. I think she's brilliant in the scene. I have a moment of looking back in my childhood, the amount of times that our parents and me had a conversation in my bedroom, the three of us, I feel like I don't think it ever happened.
Our bedrooms weren't big enough for that kind of discussion.
Right. Like,
especially
did you
yours.
Ever? Yeah, mine had like more furniture in it.
Yeah.
Yours was bigger.
Yeah, but my fights, if we had them, were always in the kitchen.
Agreed.
That's
I feel
where maybe
like
the
even,
den, because it's attached, but
yeah,
the kitchen was our fighting place.
Even just serious conversations, not even fights. I don't remember a time. Like, I feel like I would know it was really serious if the three of us were like sitting talking to me in my room. But
yeah.
I can't even remember that ever happening.
No, I cannot name a time where I can think of that happening at all.
Yeah. So
The bedroom was the place, I think, for me, where you went post-fight to make up.
Okay, but I still don't think I was ever...
No, like if you were like upstairs in your bed upset and then one of them came, one of them would come up and be like, all right, let's talk.
I feel like we solved problems. You know
in
that the, you we were the ones apologizing first and we would go to their room. Because we felt bad.
Maybe, but not even apologizing, but that like now we're going to talk. And,
yeah,
and you know, if it was a TV show, it's when the piano would start playing.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel that's what our bedrooms were for.
Okay.
That's me.
Okay. So my favorite scene, I think my runner up is another scene. You say this and I've been paying attention. Meadow and Carmela are both right. The one, it's in the beginning of the episode, she's in her bathing suit and they're arguing about reading by the pool. And Carmela's right. She can't be kind of just hanging around the house. And when she says, I'm reading the canon, she says, is Mary Higgins Clark a part of the canon? Like, she's right, but also Meadow is so right. She's going through this episode and mourning I know Jackie's death didn't just happen, but mourning happens in stages. She very well could just need time. Like, this is very traumatic. So I think they're just both correct again. So I really enjoyed that scene. But I think my favorite scene is when Syl and Tony go in the basement. And Syl, I don't know how I feel about him this episode. I think it's really out of character to not only go against Tony, but then lie to his face about it.
Yeah.
Am I spoiling by saying like nothing's going to come of this? Like,
No, actually I disagree with you.
Okay.
In the next episode, I think that this is a poorly veiled attempt to set up the next episode, which I will tell you is not one of my favorite episodes by any stretch.
Okay.
A lot of people have issues with it. And there's a lot to talk about as to why it doesn't work. And a lot of it is behind the scenes shit went wrong.
Oh, fun. Fun. You know what I mean? Fun to talk about. Okay. So
the episode, by
I...
the way, is Christopher. If anyone's wondering, it's Christopher.
Okay.
The Christopher Columbus episode.
Oh, okay. Well, back to this episode. I think it was just really out of character for Syl, but I did like the scene. And he says a really famous line from The Sopranos.
Because Patsy says you gave the okay. This is after Chrissy talked to him.
Timeline got fucked up.
So that's another one of those things that people quote all the time from the show. So I think I got to vote for that. That's my favorite scene.
That line got heard a lot when actually about Silvio, because when the movie came out, the prequel, a lot of people argued like Syl's too old in the movie.
Okay.
That it wouldn't make sense how old he is and a lot of things. And even just like, if you look at Tony's age, it doesn't kind of match. And that was always people's response. Like, timeline got fucked up. Like, okay, but can we talk about how fucked up it was?
Syl in that movie was a caricature of
Stevie
Van Zandt.
Yeah, it was an SNL skit. It was an SNL
It was script. Literally a great impersonation of him. Just yeah. not. Okay, cool.
I actually have a few things to say about your first scene.
Okay.
The Meadow and Carmela. I actually, and this is because I'm a guy. I fully admit it, but I side totally with Carmela. It's one of the few scenes I don't feel like they're both right. I think Meadow is manipulative and stop your bullshit.
Oh, I disagree with you. I think that she – so think about what we know about Meadow. She is an extremely driven student. She wanted to go to Columbia. She got into an Ivy League school, studied really hard, and then – she said that her grades started going down when she started dating Jackie. It's not in her to all of a sudden decide that she isn't going to care and manipulate her parents into letting her go to Europe. I think there is something truly going on here. It's just, it is out of character. She needs a reason to all of a sudden go, I'm going to ditch school. Someone who's so driven in school to randomly go to Europe. I think it's, I got to fight you on that one.
I think it's because I'm a guy. And
why a guy?
Because
why
I don't feel, I think there's something about, I think she's just being a cliche generalization of an annoying teenage girl.
Oh,
like I just see too much of it.
Okay.
And by the way,
maybe that's the teacher in you too. Maybe not a guy, a teacher in high, you know, you teach high school students. I didn't see it that way.
Speaking of which, you mentioned that she was in a bathing suit. I didn't notice that. Was she in a bathing suit in that
scene? She's in a red bikini. And it's funny because we see Danielle. Oh, you're being sarcastic.
Every guy who's ever watched this show.
Oh,
because it's really one of the only times that she's.
It comes right after Danielle. Well, what's her real name? Do we know?
I do.
Who cares? We're going to keep calling her Danielle. Danielle is in a bra and like you're looking at her and she looks like incredible. Yeah. And it cuts right to Meadow. So it's like, are we supposed to be sexualizing Meadow now? Because we definitely were just sexualizing Danielle.
Well, and I think the sexualization of Danielle, also Adriana, though Adriana is maybe not as sexualized, but she is shaving her legs. She's being very private in the bathroom. I do think that's a little bit of like, they're going to be involved in a fucked up threesome. And I think we're supposed to kind of feel about her the way Christopher is. Like, I do feel that foreshadows like, okay.
But why Meadow?
I don't know. And I also think it's kind of weird because, like I said, there's really very rarely do we sexualize Jamie Lynn Sigley,
yeah.
even though she's a beautiful girl. Don't get me wrong.
Of course.
But that scene really does stand, and all kidding aside, like every guy knows that scene. It's like when Meadow's in the bikini. It's like when Princess Leia's in the golden bikini.
Sure.
Like, for Sopranos fans, that moment, it was like, oh, Jamie Lynn.
Like, her friend comes in a bikini too. Like we see three women's stomachs in like the first 30 seconds of this episode.
And doesn't it make you wonder, like outside politics, why wasn't that Hunter? Could it have been that David Chase said, my daughter's not going to be in a bikini for this scene? Who the fuck is Misty?
You know, that's interesting. We could have just had a Hunter moment there.
It would have been great to bring her back. We know she's still friends with her because she mentions her throughout the season.
Yeah.
Like, she's still around, quote unquote. But, like, I think David Chase said, get another girl. My daughter's not doing it.
Okay, hold on a second, though. What we know about Hunter, Hunter might be doing other stuff with her time right now, though. She's not hanging by a pool.
That, well, yeah. Okay. I also think there is something a little symbolic about the name Misty, but I'll get to that.
Oh, fun. Okay. Favorite quote? There's a lot of symbolism in this episode, not to jump, but favorite quote?
You go first. I went first last.
Okay. So when Tony is with Melfi and they're talking about Meadow and he says,
so she's regressing.
She keeps it up. She'll be back in her womb.
It's amazing. Just a good line. Also, when he comments about her interest in art.
What the fuck's in Europe?
Experience, real life, art.
You know, I knew all this constant hopping on art was going to cause trouble.
It's true, though.
It's so funny. All right, and I have one more runner-up, and then I'll give you my favorite.
Okay.
When Artie says, you've been in my restaurant.
Artie Bucco. Jack Mazzaro.
Sure. You've been in my restaurant. Problem with the sacchitelli, right?
Yeah.
Because only Artie could say something like that.
Only Artie, and like the guts to just straight up, and like you could tell that Artie knows that Tony has a problem with this guy, so he has like the empowerment to say that to him. It's so good. But I think my favorite quote has to be a fight with, not when they're at Livia's house, but when they're back at Tony's house, and she says, "Tony, it's none of your business," and he says,
"Why don't you mind your goddamn business?"
I don't know. It kind of feels like it is my business, considering I had to haul your last boyfriend out of your kitchen in a hefty bag.
You're a miserable fuck, you know that?
That is hysterical. The candor that those two have, where they can just have this argument. A lot of conversations, actually, in this episode are very, very open. And we don't see that too much in mob speak, but they openly talk about him helping her murder or hide the body of Richie.
Mm-hmm.
Meadow calls her dad out for being in the mob, right? So there's the therapist is, they're kind of talking a little too open in the therapy session as well. So it's just kind of, that was kind of a motif of the episode, if you will. But that line when he says that about Richie, I cackled.
I also think that's a very good line because it reminds the audience, or if you don't remember, this is me reminding you, is that Ralphie is now Richie, not only in for Janice, but of the crew.
Right. Same position.
It was Richie, Gigi, Ralphie.
Right.
So it's, I think that's important to put it there. The Pichadou.
Padouche. What is Padouche?
That's what he was doing.
Okay, so your favorite quotes?
Why do you assume I have more than one? I don't always do that.
I'm staring at your notes.
That being said, I have more than one. Congratulations to Chris on taking over for Paulie's crew for a little while. He's going to be acting capo of his crew. And what's the first thing he's going to do?
Hey, I got it covered. First thing I'm doing is getting wings in my hair. You know, like Paulie.
I'll talk to you later.
But it's really Silvio's silence that makes the whole... Is it that he's not annoyed by the comment or he truly doesn't get it?
I think he's annoyed by it. I think he's like, this isn't funny. Like he's in the can. We don't joke about this. Like, yeah. I think that's why he's silent.
When Tony comes to Janice after visiting Bobby.
On the corner, Bacalas. Figured I'd come by, say hello.
Good, good. How's he doing?
He's fat.
I don't want to jump to things that remind me of our family, but I feel like that's something any one of us would have done. He's fat. But it's not even like he stops to say it. He's looking at the video. He's like, it's an offhanded comment. He's fat.
Like, what else is there to say about Bobby Bacala?
But let me remind you, though, again.
Out of the suit.
He's not in the suit. Like, you had 3 seasons to make fun of a fat suit. Now the poor guy's just fat. And the writers were like, he's fat.
It's so good. So good.
And then last runner-up would be the Fiero's buying a house in Nutley.
Oh.
I'm going to buy a house, you know.
No, I didn't. Where?
Nutley.
So you're going to stay, huh? You're going to become a citizen, too?
Nah, you don't need that.
You know, you don't need that. You don't. You don't need it. It's not important.
Nutley.
Nutley is terrific. But the winner is going outside the world of the mafia. It's the head of the FBI, the exchange of, gave Moltisanti a hard on.
You know what the problem is, right? She gave Moltisanti a hard on.
So what do we do? Hire only Scavuzzis? You know, I had a dream about her the other night.
Scavuzzis is maybe one of the greatest words to ever come out of this show. It just says it. Like, you just,
you know, so I really, really like his character, and he stuck up for her in the past, like when people say comments about her history. And then he ruins it with, you know, I had a dream about her. And like, it would have been perfect if they just left that line out, because then if you ended with, what do you want us to do? Only hire ugly chicks? Like, he's recognizing like she could be pretty and good at her job, but then he just kind of ruins it by saying a creepy thing.
He didn't say it was bad. He said he had a dream about her. It could have been that she saved him from a burning vehicle.
Sure. Let's stick. Okay. I would like to believe that, because I like him and I would like to continue liking him. Yeah, that's a great line. Theme of the episode.
What's yours?
I don't have one. I've been struggling season four with themes so far. I don't have one.
I got to be honest. So the theme that I believe, that I see, is it's not a positive one. And it's not necessarily one I agree with.
Okay.
But it's about tradition. And it's stay in your lane. The message is just stay in your lane. Do not try to go a different way, because you're just going to fuck up everyone else's
vibes.
Like, just do what you're supposed to do. You know, Meadow learns that by the end. Just do what I'm supposed to do. And you know, Janice is trying to get into someone else's lane. She's fucking everything up. And Christopher's trying to do new things. It's fucking everyone up. And Patsy tries to take initiative and steal some wire, and it fucks everything up. And Silvio's trying to let him steal tile. He's fucking everything up. Like, stay in your fucking lane. Like,
okay.
I'm the boss, or you're the capo, whatever. Just shut the fuck up and stay in your lane. It was consistent throughout. And you could say that's just a motif of the episode, but to me, that was the message of the episode, especially since Meadow eventually does what's right according to Tony. And I think at the end, we are supposed to applaud her, like, you did the right thing. Like, you weren't supposed to go to Europe.
Okay. I don't love that she makes her parents think that she ran away to Europe, though. That breaks my heart, because the worry, the sickness that they must have felt thinking that she just left is tough.
I mean, how long did it last? I mean, she registered for classes.
I know, but it sounded like she was gone all night. I don't know.
All right.
I'm being dramatic.
I think so. I mean, it's fine. But you're right. I mean, it ends in that beautiful bathroom. I mean, no bathroom is more beautiful than the Soprano bathroom.
I don't even know what you're talking about. With the wall?
Isn't that that's the last scene, right? Her in the bathtub and him at the sink.
Oh, that. Because the other bathroom is the wallpaper where she made out with the wallpaper guy.
We don't talk about that. We don't talk about that. She never did that. Carmela would never do that. And it's not like she's flirting with anyone new now.
Right. Right. Carmela would never do that. You're right. I'm sorry. I apologize. All right. Symbolism. This is going to be fun.
Janice is reading Origin of Satan when Ralphie is literally cutting his hooves.
His toenails?
Sure. That's what I meant to say.
Which is just so disgusting that he's just doing, like, absolutely not doing that.
Have you ever cut your toenails in front of your husband?
In the bathroom over the trash can, not
that's
on,
what I
in,
do.
Doesn't everyone?
I don't know.
Who just cuts their toenails and lets them fly all over the bedroom? No. And he says you got a bit of shrapnel. That's disgusting.
It is, by the way, also a cannoli.
Okay.
That moment, too.
I have a question, Mr. English teacher.
I do, too. But I'm going to let you ask your question first.
Oh, no. I hope it's not the same. Am I supposed to know what the origin of Satan is?
No. Great. I don't.
Okay, cool.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
It's not a part of the canon.
It's not.
Okay, good.
It's not the book. It's the title.
Sure. Okay, great. I just need to.
Let's put it this way. She could have been reading Satan Weekly, the magazine, and I would have gotten the same.
Okay. That's fair. Thank you for the clarification.
How often do you cut your toenails?
I get pedicures. I very, very rarely cut my toenails.
Okay.
Sorry. Why?
Because I find I have no consistent schedule. It's like.
Right. You just look down and go, oh, I have to do this now.
Sometimes it could be months. I don't know. I just go, oh,
our toenails grow slower than our fingernails. That's a known fact.
I bite my fingernails, so I never.
Okay.
Knows. Yeah, you should. Terrible habit. It's disgusting.
It is a terrible habit, but okay, cool. At least you don't cut your toenails and let them fly over the bedroom. That's a plus.
No. I'll try it once, though.
Ew. Don't. tell Carolyn it's research for the test. Right. Okay. So Tony and Carmela are fighting. And then we cut to Adriana laying on the couch or in bed. She's watching Everybody Loves Raymond. And they're saying maybe they're the type of couple who doesn't have to talk. And, you know, it's Ray Romano being a complete idiot, you know, on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But it ties into what they're about to fight over, right? They're about to fight over Danielle again. They're going to talk, but they're not really talking and they're not saying what they want to say. So that was a good, you know, always pay attention to what they're watching on TV.
Misty. The ridiculous name of this new friend that randomly pops in and does not return.
Okay.
Two things. One, I think she's named Misty for a reason. I think she's being introduced. She's the one that introduces us to Furio in this episode, like the guy with the ponytails coming. And then we see Carmela kind of get a little, mm-hmm. you know, and I think it's in reference to the song, which I do think is one of the most beautiful love songs ever written.
My hat from my love, I'm too misty and too much in love.
And I mean, it's all about look at me. I'm caught up. I'm not supposed to be in love with you, but I am. And I get misty the moment you're near. And I
awesome.
Mean, that literally is season four for Carmela when it comes to Furio.
Wow. So,
I also noticed, you know, this show, ironically, this plot line that is happening, you know, and listen, it's happening. There's a flirtation that sure. is about to happen. It is soap opera-ish, and it got criticized a little bit this season for like, okay, we don't need this soap opera shit. We want more killings and mafia stuff. But I think they knew that. I think that's why she calls her Mrs. Soap.
Love it. I love it.
It's the start of a soap opera. And we said we foreshadowed it in the first episode.
Mm-hmm. She looks in the oven to fix her hair.
Yeah, but this is where we really see it. And I do want to bring up back in season two, I mentioned a cannoli, because the first time that Furio appears in Mamerica is also the first time that we realize there's a mirror right by the entrance of the door. And I think it was accidental, but that mirror is going to be Carmela's constant stop every time Furio comes over. She's going to check herself in that mirror. That mirror is going to become very important. That was very interesting.
Oh, cool. So Aide is in red pants while talking about Tony to Christopher on the couch. And she's also in bright red when she's walking the dog and the FBI picks her up.
Lady in red.
Okay, sure.
Is that a symbol? I could insert that, but I think people would rather hear me sing it.
Yeah, I think so too.
Like that.
Okay.
Speaking of Adriana, in the bar scene with Adriana where she talks to Danielle, there's two pieces of artwork that are just eyeballs.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, and the FBI is watching. And it also is kind of a callback to the last episode where Jackson's eye
is watching. The end.
So I thought that was really, really cool.
Good catch. The super glue doesn't work. I think it's Syl that says it dried out when Tony's trying to use the super glue. Someone goes, it dried out. Someone lift the cap off. Things are just falling apart. Mm. Super glue doesn't work.
I like that. You mentioned before the Harry, or I did, who one of us. We talked about the Harry Winston bracelet. Tony also gave Carmela a Harry Winston bracelet. And I think there's a lot going on here. I think we seem to be tying Adriana to Carmela a lot in the last episode.
Yes.
Well, and Chris says Carmela's not going to be first lady forever. And I think we are supposed to really get this idea of like, or at least question our heads. Could Adriana be the next Carmela, whether it's in this series or in the future?
Right.
Like, is this real? Could you be the next one? And even, but I also think it serves a purpose of Christopher is really trying to emulate Tony. You know, another example is he says to Patsy, use your head. which is exactly what Tony said to Christopher. Like, I really think Christopher is really doing this extra hard work on being Tony.
Tony wants that. He's setting him up to try to be the next guy.
And right now, like Christopher's like, all right, the thing with The Wire was a fuck up, but I do really think that Christopher is going to try to learn from it. Like, I think Christopher really is showing potential.
Right.
But the dramatic irony is we know he has the drug issue.
Right.
Which
I know.
Tony
and they
doesn't
don't.
Really know yet.
No, he doesn't. No. Okay, interesting. Tony's drinking orange juice.
And holding up his pinky when he drinks it, which is really weird.
He always does.
It's really weird.
Okay.
Why are you doing that?
Like a little forced? I know. I feel like they all drink like that. Daddy drinks with his pinky up. Have you ever noticed?
Listen, not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not judging or
making any assumptions. No, his pinky just like casually, they all just casually just go up a little bit. It's not like pinky in the air, but it's
pinky in the air. It's
no,
pinky
Tony's
in the air.
Is. I'm saying they all do that. And our own father definitely drinks like that.
He's listening going, no, I don't. No, I don't.
And Daddy, look at your hand next time you drink. You're the one with the cross. Your ring finger with the cross on your pinky goes up when you drink.
I do what?
I do what?
Ralphie Hsu has discovered basically that whole moment is this same spot where Tony realizes that Richie is with Janice. And it's also in the same spot where Richie's dead body was. So there's definitely this correlation of, look, these two are the same character. They're doing the same thing.
Right.
And then, of course, the bracelet covered in vomit. Very symbolic.
Right. It's dirty. It's all of it. It's bad. All right. So what does the title mean? You go first.
Well, I mean, one is the obvious. They're talking about no-show jobs.
Yes.
And what, you know. Do you know what a no-show job is? Because I had to look it up a few years ago.
I asked Christian what that all meant. Like, guys who will do the working guys, no-shows, and then
no-shows is like Christopher.
Right.
No-show is Christopher. He doesn't even have to show up. So if somebody comes to looking for him, oh, he went on this mission. He went on this. He had to deliver this. He had to deliver this. No work means you show up, and if anyone was to come and say, hey, why is that fat guy sitting there? He's on a break.
Okay.
But they're getting paid, and it's a way to embezzle money.
Right.
Or we owe you money. So, like, they're protecting the construction guys because the construction guys paid them to get their bid taken, whatever. There's money being exchanged. But they have to have some kind of proof as to where is this money going for tax purposes. It's no show, no work.
Got it.
Oh, and then there's just I think it's a lot to do with Meadow. I mean, Meadow right away doesn't show up for her internship at the Paper Mill Playhouse. She doesn't show up to Europe, which that's what you call it on an airplane. When someone doesn't show up, you call it a no-show.
Nice.
It's Meadow too.
Okay.
By the way, Paper Mill Playhouse, one of our favorite places
from our childhood. That was a good call out. Paper Mill Playhouse is great. It was a lot of no show of our cars. So there are three major moments that happen, and we think a breakthrough of information is about to happen, and then it doesn't. So it's a no show of our cards. So we think Aide is about to admit to Danielle at the bar that Chris is in the mob, but it's really her past loss of abortion. Then you think Chris is about to figure out that Danielle's in the FBI. You really do. Like, you know, you don't see the signs, Aide, but then he says she's gay. Then you think the therapist is about to dive into and straight up ask her, is your dad the mob boss? And then she asks if her parents molest her. Like, there's these moments where you really think these big revelations are going to happen for the characters, and then they just don't. So, no show.
But yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay, cool. Wait, so did I win? Did I win? What does the title mean? I did.
No.
Why not? But
I think it was beautifully done.
You're such a little shit.
All right, fine. I'll give it to you.
That's usually not one that we fight over winning, but okay. Most Valuable Goomba. Okay, this was a very tough one.
Yeah.
Because it's about furthering the plot line. And like you said, a lot of people just weren't staying in their lane. And like, sorry, everybody, the lanes are going to kind of go back to normal. Like, I feel like there's things right. that, like, things are, seeds are being planted, but nothing is like, I guess Adriana is the one that's going to push the plot line forward more, but she certainly wasn't our most valuable Goomba.
And not in the next few episodes. We kind of are going to take a bit of a break from this.
Okay.
It's not
okay.
over, clearly, but.
So I think it's in the spirit of the plot line. I went like Syl. Because if we don't know what's happening in the future, you think something with Syl is about, it's like he's all of a sudden being like turning and stuff. Like, I'm very confused by his behavior. Or dare I say it's Danielle. She completely
wins. I would give
it to
Danielle more than
completely wins. I mean, this happens and it blows up and then she feels really bad at work. You could tell that she's like, yeah, thanks. Like, he says good job. But she still got the information on tape that Aide is saying without her getting Aide saying on tape that she owns the drugs. There's nothing to get Aide to talk. They don't have anything on her to send her to jail for 25 years. So Danielle did a really good job.
Well, hold on. Well, I'm not going to argue with you. I'll even give it to Danielle. I think it's Meadow. I'm going to throw that out there. I think it's Meadow for obvious reasons, but we don't even need to talk about it. I'll give it to Danielle.
Why is it obvious? But
no, for obvious reasons. Like I already said about it. I think she's in one of the greatest scenes. I think she's the one to, you know, challenge Tony and call him a mob boss. I mean, she really lets it out. But I'll give it to Danielle because I think furthering the plot, yes. Because Meadow's plot is kind of, that was what we needed to end season three. We needed that little epilogue. But now we're good. Okay. Meadow's going to move on and we'll see other things. But Danielle has started something new. But the thing that you said about the recording, I think that's a bluff.
You think that's
a bluff? There's no recording. There's no recording.
You don't, because she doesn't have a wire on her.
She's not wearing a wire. There's no, that's a bluff and Adriana's falling for it.
Oh, interesting.
Because they would have
played
it. They would have played it for her to scare the shit out of her. There's no recording.
I have a bone to pick actually with that scene. So I don't know if I don't know if they would play it for her because I don't think the FBI, when they bring you in, I've never been brought in by the FBI, but I would imagine
it's something.
Yeah. When that happened to you, it was scary. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, really. I can imagine that they don't put all their cards on the table right away. I think it was so poorly executed that she walks into the room and the entire wall is mapped out with what they know about the Soprano family.
I noticed that too.
It's a good effect because it's scary and looming over them as like, oh my God, they know everything. Adriana, just tell them. But they would never do that. They would never be like, look, we know all this stuff and what we have wrong. Like, they don't know if they're right. And she know, you know, that would never happen. It's very annoying.
You're absolutely correct. But also symbolically, again, eyes are watching her.
The family's
all
looming over her.
Eyes oh are watching her now. Like, what the fuck are you going to do?
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
But
I'd
I will say
too.
Though.
I would throw up right on the table.
100%.
Okay.
But also the thing about recordings, another reason why I think they're bluffing is because in season one, in the finale of season one, they play the recordings for Tony.
Okay.
Of Junior and his mother talking. And I do. I think they would have just played that for Adriana.
Okay.
Do you want Tony Soprano hearing this? That would scare her. They need to scare her.
But she never said anything about the mob. She only talked about the drugs.
Okay. It's still.
Okay. It was a good scene, and I was very annoyed that, like, whole wall was covered with Sopranos.
You're absolutely right. They would never do that. She'd be in a little room with a one-way mirror. She would be,
If we pulled this shit or something that made us go, oh, my God, that's tough.
Where do you want to start?
Oh, wow. There's a lot. I already mentioned if you were as ever disappointed in me that Tony was with Janice when he realizes she's with Ralphie, I think I would crawl into a hole and be like really devastated and sad. He's like really, really. I don't think you've ever been that disappointed in me ever.
I have not, but I also don't know. Well, I mean, it's very different, but I wouldn't tell you.
Wow, really?
If you were seeing somebody, unless they were really bad.
If it was Ralphie?
Yeah, if it was Ralphie. But you wouldn't be stupid enough to Yeah, date Ralphie.
I guess. Okay.
You have never dated anyone that I went, how stupid are you?
Okay.
So I don't know. I sure.
But
I guess
even
I would.
It doesn't
even
have to be about dating. Like I just if you were ever just in general. Anyway, Tony smiling when he says she loves me about Meadow when he says it to Melfi is really cute. They do. They love each other, and he knows that Meadow loves him, even though they're about to have this huge fight and everything. He knows, and I think that ties into why she ends up staying, because they have this blowout fight, and then she's like, "No, I love them. I love my dad." There's this moment where Carmela walks into Meadow's room and she's on the phone and she says something like, I don't know, have you registered for your classes or something? I don't remember.
Well, hang up the phone. I think she says hang up the phone.
Oh, sure. And Meadow goes,
"Can you hang up that phone, please?"
"Excuse me?
How dare you say that to me?" It's like, Meadow, shut up.
Yeah.
It's bad.
I would never.
No, I would never.
And to tie in, I don't remember if it's the exact same scene. I think it is when literally mid-conversation, she dials the phone.
And obviously, you don't want me around here.
That is not what I said at all. You think I don't want you here?
Oh.
Like, and Carmela keeps talking, like, in a serious manner. Like, Mom would have stopped talking. The phone would have been in our... It would have thrown across the room.
It would have been thrown
across
the room. The phone would be out of my hands. I don't know where it would go.
Well, out of the wall because it was a landline. It would have been ripped out of the wall. But
no, we had cordless in our rooms.
Oh, we did.
Our teen line was cordless.
You're right.
I had a blue see-through one.
I think both would have been. I think the phone and the base. I think she just would have.
Thrown Nokia. Totally. Yeah,
I can't imagine.
I had a white coat hanger like that hanging in my room forever.
I have no idea what you're talking about. On either end, did Meadow have that?
Meadow had that, and you don't know the white coat hanger I literally had in my room for, I think it's still there, 32 years.
Where was it hanging?
It's a standing coat hanger in the corner of my room. Like, I'd hang my purses and stuff on it.
Oh, I thought you meant literally like a hanger, like you put the coat on a hanger and you hang it in the closet.
No.
I was like,
like a standing.
Oh, like a coat rack.
Coat rack. Hat hanger. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The fuck a coat hanger? What the fuck you talk? Hanger is a thing you the thing looks like a triangle.
Coat,
you put a coat on.
Standing coat rack. Okay,
the
fine,
fuck
whatever.
Are you talking
okay, whatever.
About?
Just again, like her calling him Mr. Mob Boss and the way she does it, just like, yo, Meadow, sit down. I also think I had Meadow's blue and yellow comforter bed set, that exact one at some point.
You did.
It's the exact same one. They got it at like Bed Bath & Beyond or something, just somewhere in yes. North Jersey that I had. Meadow's going to Europe with whose money? And I know that they then acknowledge that, but it's like, what? Who? And then she's like, oh, with grandma's bonds. What? I don't think so.
I paid off my first car with grandma's bonds.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Do I have those?
I cashed them in. It was my first. Well, no. Well, it wasn't my first car. Mom and Dad bought me my first car, but it was the first car I bought myself. The car was basically done, but I still had money on it. And Mom and Dad said, "Why don't you cash all your savings bonds in and see what you got?" And I got, you know, I needed like $2,000-$3,000.
Cool.
Bonds were not really worth much when all was said and done.
No, no. I don't remember if I think I did something.
I bet you
with
have
mine.
Them.
No, oh, I could use that. That's cool.
Sure.
Jamie Lynn and I have very similar handwriting.
Yes.
And also, do you remember picking classes from a book? Because I know I never did, but in high school I did. You didn't pick classes from a book?
I don't remember picking classes in high school.
No,
I know
no.
We did.
Okay, in college you picked from a book though.
No, definitely not.
Online?
It was all online.
That's feels early. Like Muhlenberg was ahead of its time.
2001. No. Well, I mean.
Okay, well, this is 2002. Still... And she's picking classes from a big book.
That's what I'm saying. Like that when I was in 2002, when I was in college, I did it online.
That's what I'm saying. It's a little like Columbia didn't do it online.
Oh, you're criticizing the show.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe there was a catalog. Maybe. But I don't remember.
You were just like, I'll take English and theater, and that was it. You didn't really think about it? Okay.
I do remember, though, like, that time was hectic. Like, you had to get there early. You waited online. You wanted certain classes.
Wait, what do you mean you had to get there early? What?
We had to go to the registrar and sit with a guy just like that.
Oh, I didn't.
But the descriptions were online.
Got it. I didn't have to do that. I had to get up at like 6 o'clock in the morning and you had to sit there and click all the buttons to get all the classes you wanted.
Had to sit there and exactly like that. I want class 89761. And they would click it in.
There had to be a catalog. I think you just don't remember.
I don't remember. I mean, it's been many years. I'm going to be 41.
You are soon.
In 2 months, I'm going to be 41. Less than 2 months.
Whoop, whoop. Oh, come on. You're young 40s. You've reset a decade. You're like
am
young
I
again.
Am I getting a surprise party again?
No.
Okay. Cool.
Cool, that's cool, 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 cool. Did you have you didn't have a surprise party.
I think it wasn't a surprise, but did we say it was a surprise?
No.
Was I supposed to?
We just had an awesome party. You had a surprise party for your 30th.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. It was
40th. We just had an awesome party at your house.
Well, because you were afraid I was going to die of a heart attack because I was so old. You can't yell surprise to a geriatric.
Yeah, it's like
that.
Not. Remember Carolyn made the cake with it, and it was the cake for Joseph's 40th birthday was a tombstone, and it said, "Here lies Joe's youth."
Yeah, that was a beautiful cake.
It was really cool. It was a very cool cake.
AJ asking if she's online
to make a phone
call. Either that or he wanted to be online. Only one computer could be online. Like, it was just, and
I remember also, that. I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Dial-up?
And side note, did Gateway pay for this episode? Because there are two Gateway computers in this episode. Two, not just
and
one.
And we've seen
two.
The Gateway placed before.
Carmelo brought Gateway bags, which they were the best
bags.
Sturdy bags.
Yeah.
Whenever you wanted to carry something heavy, you brought
a gateway bag. I remember.
Well, they were so fucking heavy, the computers themselves. But exactly. It was unbelievable seeing gateways. What the fuck was Meadow thinking? Like, how openly she said to the psychiatrist, my father's in the mafia.
Well, she didn't say that. She said the mafia doesn't exist. Jackie's dad was a loan shark.
Okay, but. A little too free.
I agree.
She's being
free. Do you like that therapist?
No.
Are we supposed to?
But you're not supposed to.
Okay.
No.
She's
one of the most despicable characters in the show.
But
the performance
is perfect. Don't get me. Like her
Linda
sitting
Lavin is amazing.
Like the mirroring with sitting like Meadow on the chair. And you're just like, stop it, woman. Stop it.
Mom, can I have a tuna san?
Mom. Hi, can I have a tuna, Sam?
Can you imagine laying in bed at, let's assume it's 3 p.m, and yelling to our mother, Mom, can I have a tuna, Sam? And by the way, no, let me defend our mother for a minute. I could see our mother walking by and saying, Sarah, you want a sandwich?
No.
I'll make you a sandwich. Oh,
that's completely different and totally what happened.
The sitting there on the phone with your lazy ass doing shit and saying, can I have, that's the equivalent to when she holds up the glass.
Oh, right. Exactly.
In the previous season.
And just looks at her. Oh.
And then Tony sitting on the ice cream was one of the great dad moments of television.
Can you imagine leaving an old ice cream bowl in our room? Like, I don't eating ice cream in our bedroom.
Yeah, I never eat in the bedroom.
No, I never did either.
Carolyn lets our kids eat in our bedroom. So like then like we'll have movie nights and they'll have popcorn
That's
in
fun,
bed.
Though. That's really fun.
No, but it's always on my side. So when I go to bed
and
I
have
feel popcorn
all over
my ass. I don't want popcorn on my ass while I'm
cut your toenails on her side. Get her back.
No, I won't cut them and I'll cut her with my toenails.
Oh my god. Okay.
But that was it for me.
Yeah, that's rough.
It just.
All right, cannolis. I got two. Light on the cannolis.
Very light. I mean, but there's a huge one. Well, you know, I mean, okay, I missed one. I mean, Carmella and Furio.
Well, I think that's just setting up the
it's
plot,
just there.
Not a cannoli, yeah. You know.
But the biggest one, I mean, the 90-pound mole joke is huge.
No pun intended.
Speaking of 98 pounds, I hear Ginny Sachs getting a 95-pound mole taken off her ass.
Hey, some guy's wife. Come on.
When Tony comes in and says, I was at Bacala's around the corner, when he shows up when Ralphie was there. Okay, Joseph, anything else for this episode? We got a bunch.
Yeah, we got a few things.
Why hasn't Polly's nephew been to see his great aunt? You're really going to go to Polly and say, I've not gone to see your mom while he's in jail?
That's a good point.
The balls.
The balls. That's a good point. If you were Patsy and I was Christopher.
Okay.
And if you were a carpenter and I was a douchebag. No, if you were. No. No, but if Chris. Did you feel like. I think Patsy's right. If I gave you that look that Chris gave, would you have thought?
100%. But that wire would be ours. Yes.
But I guess my question is, and I love ambiguity, is Christopher gaslighting again? Or did he truly not mean to give a look? Was he just going, oh, that's interesting?
I think he's gaslighting again.
Okay. I lean towards that.
That's too. My, again, you're right, ambiguity, but I think he is gaslighting.
Okay.
We often say, like, when strong pop culture references are made on the show, we kind of giggle at them because sometimes they're super irrelevant now. But Artie Bucco saying, who does she think I am, Bill Gates? That just, like, stood out to me as, yep, you would still say that today. Bill Gates is still one of the richest men in the world. It was like a name drop and it was still super relevant. Another one. Not aging quite as well, but still relevant when Adriana says, oh, he's Jude Law. Mm-hmm. About who is it?
Polly.
Little Polly.
Little Polly.
Little Polly. So age, but also still relevant. You could still say that and no one would be like, who's Jude Law?
I bet my students don't know Jude Law.
No? Okay.
I don't know. What's the last time you saw, when's the last time you saw hot Jude Law?
I don't know. I just feel like you just know Jude Law's hot. I don't know.
What are you a Jude Law? Like, do you get it? Were you a Jude Law fan?
Sure. Why not?
I don't know. I think he's a very particular taste.
Oh, okay. I think he's hot.
Bravo to Linda Lavin. Welcome to the show. I hate your character. I hate you on the screen.
Who's Linda Lavin?
She played the psychiatrist.
Meadows. She's
brilliant.
Brilliant, awful character. I can't even explain to you like why I don't like her so much. Like she's planting seeds like your parents molest, like digging for things that Meadow wasn't saying.
She's awful.
She's
an awful therapist.
She's awful.
I'm not saying she has to side with the parents, but she's enabling.
Yeah, she's like digging.
Terrible
for,
behavior. No,
it's weird. When Carmel asks sarcastically, is our French discos, do they make all the sad thoughts disappear? You know what? I'd like to say, like, they do. Yes, they do. Actually, that was a bad argument, Carmelo, because, yes, they're tons of fun.
On the gateway, I particularly loved when Carmela is looking at that awful, like, Mario Brothers 1980s looking website. But
perfect.
The best part is when the MIDI file plays We're in the Money. If that wasn't a flashback to a terrible time of technology.
I mean.
But we thought it was.
Exactly. You were like, wow, this is fun. It has sound. Also, how many times did you open websites and jump because you didn't know it was going to have music?
Yeah.
All the time. Well, websites don't do that anymore.
Yeah, well, probably because enough people went stop
Please stop with this doing website. That. Yeah, right. That's funny. Why does Christopher think Patsy went through Aide's underwear drawer? That was a weird mistake that he made. And Patsy goes, that wasn't me. And it wasn't. It was Polly.
It was Polly. I agree.
That's a weird line. Are they trying to connect Patsy with Polly somehow? I'm like, why does that have
to? Or is he trying to find another reason to be mad at Patsy? So he's just making things up.
I thought that was strange.
I think he knows it's Polly.
Okay. I thought it was strange.
Maybe he can't say it because he is Polly right now. Like, maybe it's like, I can't talk poorly about the guy in the can who I'm now playing that role.
But then
I don't
why
know.
Bring
it
that
weird.
Up?
It, I agree.
Okay.
Okay. Take this journey with me.
I'm on this journey. Go.
Be Christopher. So we
oh,
don't know
wow.
anything.
Okay.
We don't know anything. Is it really that far-fetched to think that Danielle's gay?
Is it that far-fetched to think?
And attracted to Adriana.
Well,
she's there a lot.
I don't think
she's there a lot.
I don't think like she has to be gay, but I don't think it's like crazy that he says it. Also, yeah, look at Adriana. I mean, who's not attracted to Adriana?
I don't think
Adriana.
It's that crazy. And I'll take you further. I kind of think Adriana at that moment was a little flattered.
That is a definite. That she's definitely flattered and like the very at first. But
yeah,
I don't know if it's like, I don't think that like a best friend has to be gay just because she's hanging out. But I also don't think it's that crazy that Christopher asks.
She's there a lot.
So?
And she met her at Starbucks. She met her in the mall and asked her for
look
like
at the signs, Aide.
Like that story right there. I met
is
her in
a
mall.
Cute. It's a meet cute.
It's a meet cute.
Yeah.
Like he's blind to the thing we know, but I think if you take that away, I don't think his she's gay is that crazy.
No, I don't think it's crazy, but I don't think it like means that she has to be gay either. I think it's
I don't think so either. I'm just saying I think I'm going to stand up for my boy Christopher for
sure. Your boy.
He's not that crazy.
Okay.
So at the kitchen table, when Meadow's like kind of going through her plan, you know, the video was in Dogma, which Dogma was a big thing at that time. I remember Dogma. They were big.
What is Dogma?
But it's a production company that did like independent
movies.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, sure.
They did this really cool Shakespeare of like King Lear in the desert. It was really, really cool,
cool.
That movie. But anyway, Meadow and Carm's dialogue fades out as Tony's kind of zoning off. But the really interesting thing is that there's a sound underneath him.
It's a train.
Read Henry James. What does every college have junior year abroad if there isn't a need for it?
Then why don't you wait for junior year, Med? It's just 8 months.
Because I need it now.
You want to go to Europe? Go.
I don't get it.
Is he picturing her on the train in Europe?
I don't know. But obviously it builds tension like it's very similar actually now. Okay, I'm thinking out loud. It's actually very similar to when Michael in Godfather 1, we hear the subway building tension
okay.
Right before he shoots Salazzo in the head.
Okay.
Maybe that's what it is, but I kind of go like, I'm all for the Godfather
sure.
Illusions. But that, I don't know. I didn't like that moment.
It was also when he heard, like when he was hearing the telltale heartbeat.
Yeah, but that makes sense.
Perfect sense. That was beautiful.
And it was a real sound. It was H.A. the
roof.
This was weird.
This is weird.
A really nice cut. And maybe this episode, other ones I didn't notice, but Tony says, do not do it. Do not do it. And cuts right to Adriana's to saying to Cosette, do it for mommy. Do it
yeah.
for mommy. I like that.
When Danielle looks like she's looking down at Aide at the table, like she's better than her, or like, I got you. Like she kind of has a bitchy look on her face. I feel like in a real life situation, I do think that this character would feel bad. I don't think that she would make that face. I thought that was misplaced. But is it a way that, you know, is it a way to keep the audience on Aide's side and like really hate the FBI? Like, don't mess with Aide, right? To make her kind of this evil, like, I got you.
I have a thought about what you're saying, but I don't want to give too much away.
Okay. Maybe.
No, I don't think it has anything to do with hate. I think she genuinely does feel bad. But I think as new characters this season come in, I think they're going to take more of the role that you want them to take.
Okay. Understood. Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
Sure.
But in that scene, though, I will say they're talking about something that really, and then Adriana cuts to a different train of thought and says,
"We just want information."
Is your name even Danielle?
Oh, that's one of the most heartbreaking, and doesn't get an answer.
Oh, it's so sad.
It's really heartbreaking.
It really is a really good delivery of a line.
And then she vomits.
Which is also a really good delivery of vomit. Good stuff. Before we close, Joseph, I want to thank Jacqueline DeVella for our new cover of our podcast episodes. We're getting a lot of good feedback on it. So thanks, everyone, for being fans of the show and liking the new cover of us kind of having a sibling sit down.
Yeah, I do. A lot of good feedback from our friends and some people on Twitter that said this
Sweet.
Is great.
Love it.
I also want to thank my wife who took the picture.
Great.
Out of nowhere. We were at a wedding together. And she said, just, I don't even know if we knew she was taking the picture.
Don't think we did.
And when we saw it, we went, shit, that's it. Yeah. That's our next.
It was cool. So thank you, cover. Carolyn. Thank you, Jacqueline, for your extremely talented professional. Whatever you do to stuff is amazing. I don't even know what you do. It's very, very cool. So check that out, everyone. Thanks to our listeners for analyzing No Show with us. That's all from us for now. We'll talk to you soon when we discuss our next episode, season 4, episode 3, Joseph's favorite episode, Christopher. This has been The Sibling Sit Down.
I get misty the moment you need.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Sibling Sit Down. Please like or follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or from whichever platform you're listening. Leave a review on Apple and share the show with fellow Sopranos fans to show your allegiance to the family.